The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
We look forward to it every single year, and this is it. And this is a Steve request. I have no idea what the hell this is. All right. Apparently, Steve Young's gone hillbilly. He's gone hillbilly. what?
You missed the big line.
I don't know this song.
It's a hell of a view, man. It's like you put. I'm not a country guy, but every once in a while, there's a song that you just go, "Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah." It's like it's about a relationship. Like I've been married for a lot of years. It's a hell of a view, you know. And it's like I feel that way with you guys. It's like we're all on the toes on hanging on the ledge, and we're just it's a hell of a view together, you know.
Oh,
so, wow.
Awesome.
That's sweet.
I really feel that way. I honestly, when I say you want some walk-up music, I'm like, play Eric Church. I mean, I really, there's like 10 country songs that I love, and they're all, I don't know, they're great storytelling. So that was one of them. I love that we're back. I love it. Okay, how about this one, boys? You're going to love this. So for business, this is a long story, but a business, I'll cut it back, but we had to go to the Middle East for business. A week or two ago, and I was in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and I'm walking down the street, okay, and you got to picture where you are in the world, and you're as far away as you can be. Like, it's literally, if you drilled a hole from here straight through the earth, you'd come out in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia.
It's far.
In Qatar, that's where we landed, in Qatar. And so, and we're walking on the street, and a guy sees me with my, and got your mask on, right? So he sees me, he's like, Steve Young, I love you, I KMBR.
No way. That is awesome.
He listens on KMBR.com from Riyadh, and he's like, he's this fanatic 49er fan, and it's not like he went to school here. He went to Stanford, and he lived here for some years, but he's been back. He's raised there, and he was like 4 or 5 years here, and then he spent most of his life in Saudi Arabia, but he's a fanatic 49er fan, and he doesn't miss any of our shows. Every week, you know, it's like 5 in the morning. It's 5 in the morning, Riyadh time, where we're on at 5 p.m., and he's like, I'm up early, I listen to the show, you guys are the best.
That's incredible.
We're global. You can't tell us nothing now. We have a global reach. Get out of here.
Can we get the reach?
How old was he? Under 54.
He's 50 years old. Yeah. Do everything. He was
big in Riyadh. Yes.
He was grilling me. He was grilling me on every little detail about everything that's going on. And he even said, hey, look, ESPN, Monday Night Football, you're too stodgy. It's like command and control. You got Susie runs it, everybody has to talk, and then you come back. Like, make it more like the NBA, like, you know, with Ernie Johnson. Make it more like hip-hop and happen. Like, you guys are boring. This guy was all over.
Wow.
Okay, so did you pass that along? Because we saw you guys sitting in the club at the new stadium in Vegas eating crab legs.
Rod, so that's been an issue with ESPN for a while, is how do we stop this command and control with a host? And then they go to each guy, and then they come around the horn, and then you come back. And how do you get a conversation going? And it was funny when he said that, because I told him, look, we've been working on that, bro. You know, that's in the mix. In the mix.
Preach it to the choir.
Happier times are coming to Riyadh.
Oh, man, that's incredible.
You guys are the best, though. Good to see you. Hell of a view.
No,
guys,
it's awesome to have you back, Steve. We love you, and it's awesome to have the conversation. I would just say this before we get into football. If you want to make it more like a conversation, make it a conversation where it's not, we got 2.5 minutes to talk that, 2.5 minutes to talk that, let's get into that. If something works and it clicks, just go and scrap the next segment and stay with it.
So, no, you know, we're on at 3 p.m. Mondays. You know, I'm sure that's highly sought after show.
Highly coveted.
Yeah, 3 p.m. But this time, I actually got this guy's email, and we traded. I wrote him on Tuesday. I said, "Did you see the show? This is much better." You know?
What'd you think?
So let's start with that. I wanted to ask you this before we get into your overall impressions of the game. Maybe we can pop around the league a little bit. I talked to Brent about this and talked to guys who have played, and it didn't affect you, but because you played quarterback. But when a coach starts pulling starters out, mentally, my whole thing was when I played, if coach starts pulling starters out, you still want to go there and play high quality basketball, but you're already thinking, well, he's saying it's over by pulling guys out this early in the game. And I thought that's what happened a little bit to the 49ers. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong, because you don't want to get guys hurt in a game that you think you're going to win. But this is why coaches don't do that, because goofy stuff could happen. And then all of a sudden, you got to get started back up as an athlete again. Like, oh, crap, it's not over. We got to go back up there and get these engines revved in. Talk about the balancing act there.
But Tom, it's more problematic today's game. You know, and I don't want to belabor it again, but, you know, the game gets even more and more college-like with the time, the commitment between players and coaches, and now they're just throwing together, and they don't even play in the preseason. So when I say, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, even 10 years ago, I said September's the preseason. Now it really is. And so it's a sign of immaturity where a coach pulls people out and the team kind of responds in kind, and you kind of fade. And so, but I can totally expect that now with the way that teams are put together and how little time you have. I would expect more from the 49ers because of the locker room they have and that kind of thing. But that'll be a lesson. But but for any time I was on a team that we got a big lead, then they pull people out and everyone faded, it was a sign of immaturity. And I think that would be what I would say to the team if I had a chance to go talk to them right now. Take that as a sign that we're not put together yet. And that's not a big deal, but let's be honest. Let's look it in the eye, and let's figure out how we're going to, you know, mature quickly here, because the NFL does that, right? They throw teams together. Mm-hmm. You have preseason for the backups, essentially, and then we have 16 or now 17 weeks to go win a championship. And so what's the lesson out of the first game? That's one of the lessons, is we're not buttoned up. Let's get that thing figured out.
So real quick on the two quarterback system, which really wasn't. They had one play for Trey Lance, and if they could just keep doing that, get him in there, throw touchdown passes, that'd be perfectly fine. But are you going to be watching how Jimmy handles it? Because I said I don't know that's a huge issue if you're winning. As soon as if you're winning, everyone's happy, everyone's having a good time, you're pitching in, it's all good. I go, the only problem could be, and may arise at some point, if you hit a little bit of a bump in the road, that's when things will get interesting.
Well, the whole thing is fraught with terror, right? Because, as we said before in the offseason, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan could not have screamed any louder to any of us that they went all in a year where they thought they'd have a shot from getting 12 to the top five to get a quarterback for the generation that's going to be John and Kyle's signature, right? And they decided, you know what, we don't want Jimmy to be our quarterback. We want to go all in, and we're going to do something that's only happened.
Yep, Steve Young's back.
Oh, man. Is he joining us from Riyadh?
He's joining us from Riyadh.
Yeah.
How incredible is that? The sub dude over there.
That is amazing, man. That absolutely would make your day if you're a KMBR fan. You're sitting there going, "What? You listen to KMBR in Riyadh?"
Don't think that might find its way into the show open at some point. We could use that one.
It better be a promo for the show.
The way around the world?
It's another great advertisement for KMBR.com, because it does give you the ability to listen outside of the Bay Area, but also what our digital team does with their reporting, with the video aspect to everything, the compiling of all the interviews. KMBR.com is an absolutely invaluable resource if Bay Area sports is your thing, and if you're listening, it clearly is your thing.
No, absolutely. And then just to kind of The great part, and I'll say this before Steve comes back, and I know he doesn't want me to lavish him with praise while he's on the air, But that's why it's so much fun having him on, and Brent, as a matter of fact. They don't have to do this. They want to do it, and they enjoy doing it, and it's fun for them to do it. And they just love talking football and the relationship that they have with us. And it just that's why it's so much fun, because it's just a relaxed conversation talking football, and Steve knows as much about anybody about football and the position and the 49ers. And that's why I look forward to this every single year. All right, Steve, when you left us, I think I remember fraught with terror.
Fraught with terror is where I left you? You got to be kidding me. I had 5 minutes of pure terror.
Yes. We left with fraught with terror, so pick it up from there.
You know, my watch rings when someone's trying to get through to me. I didn't even look when it was ringing. I'm like, I'm on a roll here. I don't want to look at my watch and see who keeps trying to call in. It's you guys, because I've actually gone dead. Oh, my gosh, that's funny.
That was some of your best work that we missed.
It was speaking into the void.
I got a guy walk by and said, man, you sound great. No, fraught with terror. Fraught with terror. I apologize for losing you. So it's fraught with terror because, and I apologize, I hope this doesn't happen again, but in the end, in the off season, with all the calm and kind of thought, John and Kyle decided that they wanted to go all in. First time in history, or no, five times in history, teams have traded three first-round draft choices to move up to get the quarterback that they want. So we're one of five in history. So they could not have spoken any louder that they want this next guy to be the one that defines their coaching and general manager career. And they don't want it to be Jimmy. But yet, here we are. And so when I say fraught with terror, it's because Jimmy's such a great guy. And he's so beloved in the locker room, and he's successful and wins, that he's going to continue and just play it out. But you've got to understand the trajectory of what's the underpinnings of that decision that happened in the spring. They are going to play Trey Lance. They're going to force the issue. Win or lose, to your point, Tom. And so I think they'll look for more and more opportunities to put Trey in, because in the end, that's what they've spoken that they're going to do. And so I think that's why I say it's fraught with terror, because wait a second, what if Jimmy goes undefeated and wins the Super Bowl? And what do you do? I think it's iterative, and it's going to be fascinating, but the underpinnings of that decision in the spring, you need to hold tight to, because they are holding tight to it. They are not going to just forget that they went all in for Trey Lance.
Yeah.
It's so interesting to hear you have this perspective, Steve, because I really feel like you were almost like two different quarterbacks with the Niners. The quarterback you were initially and the quarterback that you evolved into. I just think they view Lance kind of as he was the best prospect. If we take the best prospect and we put that prospect through what we think is the best developmental process, which I think if you had John and Kyle here, they would tell you it's what Andy's doing with Patrick, or did with Patrick and Alex in that first year. That if you take the best talent and you give them the best surrounding cast and you have the best plan, that you will have what the Chiefs have, which is the elite franchise quarterback going forward. But you actually, I was shocked to hear you say, don't take that plan. Basically, get him out there day one, because the game's simplified and you need those yards that the NFL defense is giving.
You've described the plan. But my point is, I think that they're going to not let him just sit. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You saw last week they put him at the 5-yard line early in the game when it's at risk. They want to put him at risk and see if he can't develop. So I don't mean that I'm not saying they need to play him today. I felt that way when they drafted him because of how loudly they spoke, I say to me, but to all of us, right? It's like, well, you've already decided it. Make it happen. But I think this is a much more concerted effort to figure out the right way, which I agree with what Andy did with Patrick. And Patrick would agree with that as well. I agree with, if that's the plan, the awkwardness is that Alex Smith, he played that season for his job, not to leave. He believed that he was going to be the guy for a long time. And they led him to believe that. But what are they doing here? That's why I'm telling you it's fraught with terror, is because what have they told Jimmy? Like, you're going to go. Play as hard as you can, and you're going to go? Or, no, Jimmy, you can still save your job. And I think that's what's so hard. And I'm not against the creative tension because they're both good guys. Trey and Jimmy are great guys. However this works out, it'll be the best for the 49ers. I just feel for Jimmy to be sitting in this space where he doesn't know what's going to happen. But that's okay, too, because he might be able to say to himself, you know what, I'm going to play great football, and whether it's here or somebody somewhere else, I'm going to make $40 million a year. And that might be fine, too.
The Niners are currently managing this situation well to where it is not dissolved into something that is clear and obvious and could seriously be a problem to the team. Green Bay, on the other hand, not so much. What's your read on it? Was that just a bad day for the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, or do you see the offseason creeping into the regular season?
Yeah,
and that's an issue?
It's hard to not feel the offseason creeping here. And, you know, knowing Aaron, he'll throw for 500 yards and beat the Lions 50-0, you know, and everyone was like, whoa, that was stupid, you know, and all our talk. But it did, that whole game felt like, you know, Aaron talked a lot in the offseason, despite all the conflict, that he had spent the time finding that Zen space where he could have, you know, kind of health and wellness while he plays, you know, elite football. And you can, when you talk to him, I saw him in Tahoe, you see him around, like, he is in that space. And so I think he shows up at training camp with all the consternation and all the conflict around whether he's coming or not. But he came with this Zen-like space that now the whole team, he's the leader. He's the guy that everyone's talking to and talking about. And it felt like the team took on that aura. Like, oh, we're supposed to be Zen. No, you're 22. You can't be Zen, bro. You've got to go. You've got to play. You've got to be intense. You've got to be a wild man. You've got to – there is no Zen for 20 years for you. And I think that the team took on his persona, which they cannot do. Aaron can do that. He can play crappy one week and play like an elite MVP the next week. This team can't do that. And so it'll be interesting to see how they transition next week. I suspect you'll see a much more energized, focused, you know, outwardly emotional group of Packers to kind of, you know, stop the bleeding on that kind of thought process that we have out of week one.
How much scarier now are the Rams that they have Stafford at quarterback?
We should all be fraught with, I said fraught with terror for the last thing.
Say it again.
Matt Stafford being available, every team in the league, knowing who Matt Stafford is and being honest about it, would take it.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing.
Congratulations.
To say. Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
There's only maybe three or four places where Aaron Rodgers is or Russell Wilson is or, you know, somebody is someone who's super entrenched. Otherwise, Matthew Stafford is a better option. And for whatever, you know, it was the tackle, Whitworth, who's Matthew's friend. And you saw that article that was written in Sports Illustrated that laid it all out. That he was in Mexico, and Sean McVay happened to be in Mexico. Whitworth got the text from Matthew that he was free, and Sean just drove over. And we didn't. No one got a shot at him. And Sean did a great job. And Sean's been looking. Sean believes, and probably rightfully so, that he is on par with Kyle in innovation and offensive mindedness and quarterback centricity and ability to make a winning a program in the 2020s because it is absolutely more than ever before quarterback centric. And if you have somebody that is generational talent, you're going to be in the Super Bowl hunt. You're going to be in the championship games year in and year out. Look at the last 2 years as the games dramatically changed, and you see that the teams that are making the Super Bowls are the guys that have the superstar quarterbacks. And so Matthew Stafford, and when they made that trade, I said to somebody, and I'll go get it on record from that somebody because I promise you I said it, he's going to be the MVP of the league. Because Matthew is a phenomenal player. He has been a thoroughbred. An elite thoroughbred with 100 pounds on his back and running in mud. That's what it's like playing in Detroit. there is no, I don't know, you know, I don't want this to go too fire rolling, but it's not a place to, and here, not only did he survive in Detroit, he had some moments of thriving. That's how good he is. He is really, really good player. He's an elite quarterback. Anybody that wants to come at me with some stat or something about Matthew's history or something that's going to say to me that he's not a top 2-3 quarterback in the league, you don't have a buyer here. The guy is that good, and now he has the platform to show you how good he really is. And I think that we should all stand up at attention in the NFC West. If you think about the NFC West right now, it seems like it's a 6-game season, right? If you end up 4-2 or 5-1 in the division, you're probably winning the division. You're probably, because you go out of the division, the teams aren't as good. I think you can almost judge the season by how you play those 6 games. And whoever ends up being 4-2 or 5-1 is probably the one that's going to be the champion of the West.
I know I'm jumping a line here, but I have to ask, does Stafford's journey in the NFL, does it remind you of your journey, and that's part of the reason why you feel?
No, Rod, my journey, he had a tougher journey playing. I mean, I was with one of the best elite teams, great places for quarterbacks. I just had to stand too much.
No. You know, but you were in Tampa, though. I mean.
Yeah, no, but that does resonate. So, yes. because that's exactly what it was always like, right? We were 2-14, but there were 10 games that we were in. We had a shot. Oh, my gosh, this is what we're going to do. And then you never did. And it was always some dysfunction that cost you. You know, it's like something you felt like you can't get over. And that's the way Detroit has been for generations. And so Rod, I am not sympathetic to Matthew Stafford because of my own experience. I truly believe I'm standing back and watching Matthew play.
Oh, sure.
And I said to myself, this guy is an elite football player.
You know, watching week one, Steve, the two guys that stood out to me, I mean, were the two, you know, young mobile quarterbacks that are getting an opportunity. Hurts, who we're going to see this week, who was incredibly efficient and kept climbing the pocket against Atlanta and kept making plays and extending plays. And he was 27-35 in that game, and then he ran for a bunch of yards. What did you think of Hurts? We're going to see him this week. And what do you think of Kyler? Because I thought Kyler was spectacular, the way he kind of extends plays and moves around. He's so quick that almost he's like too quick for the defense. So both those guys played terrific, efficient football, and their teams won big.
Kyler's the more scary one right now because he has more games under his belt. So you get a sense that he, through experience now, has started to understand the game, the speed of the game. Again, the sophistication in the NFL has dropped dramatically over the last 20 years, but that doesn't mean the speed has dropped. The speed's gotten faster. The athletes are faster and bigger. And so there's still that transition you have to make as a pro. And the idea that Kyler has had that time to kind of get up to speed, get used to what your game needs to look like, how you need to protect the football, but yet still be expansive. And so, you know, it's the preseason, it's September, but coming off of that game on the road against what was supposed to be a decent game, decent team, especially out of the conference and such an odd team to play to open up with and to have such an expansive game. I that's why I'm saying it's not just Seattle 49ers and now the Rams, of course. I do think the Cards are in the mix in the toughest division in football. So, yes, I see Kyler. Jayla, I just Hurts is a guy that you just don't know when, especially at Ohio State, because their history is, how you think about yourself as a quarterback, your self-image is sometimes portrayed by others, by the system that you have, by the coaches that you have. And sometimes you don't realize how kept you are as a player. And all of a sudden you get somewhere and you get an opportunity and you expand. That part resonates with me, is you get to a place and all of a sudden there's way more of you than you even realized, that you even thought you had, because you were defining yourself in a more, a different paradigm almost. And so I'm wondering if that's happening here with him, because I feel like I know him and I know him as a player, but I think I might have known him as a player defined by a previous kind of paradigm, where now all of a sudden it's opened up and there's this new place for him and it's new, and he can fill it. A lot of guys can't fill it. when they get that new space. And like, well, no, what you thought was true. It doesn't matter who I'm with. I'm that same guy. But some guys actually are way more than you thought. And I'm wondering off of game one, is that possible here? Because it was way more than I thought he had. And I'm wondering if this is that kind of a situation, which would be quite amazing because it doesn't happen very often, but I will be very focused over the next month or so, really over the whole season, to see if that's actually the case.
Did the Browns, in battling the Kansas City Chiefs and then losing at the end, does that hurt them, help them moving forward, or neither?
Neither. It's okay. they were Dennis Green. You were who you thought you were. You were a good team. You're a good team. You can go to the rank and file in the league and probably win most of the games against the elite teams. You don't have it yet. So that's about where we started a week ago, and now we're a week later, and it's the same spot.
Yeah.
And until further notice, they could go 10-6 or 7, I guess now, or 11-6, and make the playoffs, and we'll be like, yeah, whatever, you know, see you in the divisional round or in the championship round, and we'll see what you got. Because the Browns are in that space now where I kind of don't care. Like, I don't know, whatever, you know, blah, 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 January 25th. Let me see what you got.
Yeah. Without any running backs they came into the season with, how much is Lamar Jackson going to have to put on the Superman cape and do everything there offensively for Baltimore?
Well, I'm so glad I have a radio show to talk this out because, you know, you go on TV and you try to explain it and everybody freaks out because you just don't. Lamar Jackson is damned. D-A-M-N-E-D. He's a player that I believe can become the best quarterback in the league. But they have embraced Lamar Jackson as he came out of college. And even John Harbaugh said, I saw him in an article 2 weeks ago, say, you know, Lamar needs to be just who Lamar is. And I say, no, you do not want Lamar to be who he is. You want him to be way more than who he is today. And to do that, he needs to be trained, just like I was trained, just like Russell Wilson's been trained. Guys that can move around need the training so that you can actually become a sophisticated passer of the football. How many times have we said, and it's been proven over and over and over again, even such an elite special talent as Lamar Jackson, even at that level, you cannot thrive in championship football in the NFL until further notice unless you are a sophisticated passer of the football. And so if I'm Lamar Jackson, I'm going to demand that I get that training so that I can become a sophisticated passer and find out the full measure of myself. Otherwise, I'm going to be a phenomenal talent, and we've seen them come through the league before. They are meteoric in their rise and fall, and they're amazing highlights, and they're amazing players, but they're not the full measure of who they can be. And so now he loses all of the guys around him, and your question to me, Tom, makes me say this, that take the opportunity to create a training ground, and even if it takes a season of mediocre football, 500 football, to develop that, let's do it. I want Lamar Jackson to be one of the greats, if not greatest, football player in the history of the game. But he will not get there unless he becomes a sophisticated passer of the football. And that is a training that is not a natural outcropping of just playing in the NFL. Thank you. I appreciate the radio show for the time.
You got my vote.
And that's why we're big in Riyadh.
Oh, man. All right, we're going to give you another platform here before we let you go. We'll go to the college game.
Are you okay with that? Are you okay with all that?
Yeah,
I am. Yeah. I think that's good analysis.
No, absolutely. Totally.
Because
totally makes sense.
I feel like they're basically telling him, no, just be you. Just go out there and we'll have a couple of plays and then you know, and a couple of, you know, basic passing plays, and, you know, and if we get down by 14, oh, we're screwed. Don't worry about it. It doesn't matter, you know. Like, no. 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 Anyway, go forward. Move on.
All right. How pumped were you when the Fighting Cosmos took down the Utes in the Holy War?
Oh, I didn't. I look. BYU had the greatest two-day stint in our history. You forgot on Friday they announced their acceptance into the Big 12.
That's right.
So think about it. For 40 years, we've been BYU's good butt. BYU beat Texas A&M, UCLA. Go on to the list. Georgia, Nebraska, but. There's no more buts. The buts are gone. We're in the mix. We're in the flow. Now, look, I don't know what the Big 12's going to, you know, I understand all this stuff, but, hey, look, it's one of the Power Five conferences. We're in. That happened on Friday. And then I got to be honest with you. We thought it was all about Zach Wilson. We have a really good football team. We have a good quarterback that's very much like Jalen Hurts, who can move around, make some throws, and he looked like he was more than I thought. He looked like he had changed before, the guy that you kind of had a glimpse of before. And the team is it's so well coached today. There's offensive and defensive coordinators. I told Kalani Sitake, we're holding them. I don't care if we have to overpay them and pay them more than you, Kalani. We are not losing these two guys because we are playing lights out offense and defense. And it is really sweet to watch. So, look, we got Arizona State and my buddy Herm Edwards this week at home. But, like, we're starting to dream. We're 2-0 after we beat Arizona, beat Utah. Utah's going to be a really good team. They're going to be the top of the Pac-12. Now that we're we're putting Pac-12 teams away like, you know, candy bars now because we're in the Big 12. So I guess this is how we roll.
The running back's big time. Algier or whatever, he's big time.
Bear way down. So,
easy
shots fired.
Yeah, he wouldn't say that in his own. He wouldn't say that in his own house, but he'd say it to me.
That's why he's saying it.
I can get away from it. I get away with it here on the radio.
Yeah. Try that one at home. See how that one goes.
I'm sure Steve would like to sleep with both eyes closed, which is why he says that on the radio and not at home.
To talk about. I appreciate the platform to talk about BYU, but that's enough of that too. So.
Yeah. It's such a joy to have you back. You know how much we love talking to you each and every week. It's one of the highlights of the week, and this is the first of many. So it's awesome to have you back. I look forward to another country song, sending you pictures of my Halloween lights in a couple weeks. It's all good. We're all back together.
Eric Church.
That's a hell of a view, boys. Eric Church, still listen. Eric Church. If you're bummed out, and you need to just go roll down the windows and turn that one up. Just I don't care how you. I am not a country music fan, but every once in a while, let's be honest. Every once in a while, they can hit the right note, and it's super sweet.
If you haven't sang "Friends at Low Places" at some point in your life, then you just don't have feeling.
Actually, I got to. You know what? I'm lying to you, too. I actually am a country music fan. So
see, you are a country.
We got it.
I'm trying to lay low.
You've been thinking about that lyric for a month.
Do you wear boots?
No. It's just lately. I don't know. I've been KRTY. I'm like, can't get enough. I'm like, just play me some more of that good stuff. And that's why this came on. There's a couple of, Somebody's Daughter. Go listen to that song. You know, and you're like, there's some good. For the next 3 weeks, I'm going to bring you a little country. Everyone in the world needs just a little country. Just a little.
We're going to get you on a country concert tour. We got to get you on a country concert.
You can do a little bit of country.
Peyton Manning is like a country fanatic. Like, I'm just telling you, it's touched me a little bit here, and I'm like, you know what? I need a little country. I'm all right.
How about a little country and a little rock and roll?
Yeah, there you go. Donnie, give me the purple
There
socks,
you go.
Bro.
There you go.
The yeah. Hey, now we're speaking to Steve's people, Donnie and Marie.
There you go.
Look at that. It's coming all back around full circle.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's a very underrated show, The Osmonds. I'll tell you, that was a very underrated show.
One day I'm going to tell you about my date with Marie. We ran out of time.
Hold on a second. Let me write that down. I'm going to write that. That is not getting away from us.
We're getting back to that.
I got to remember.
Oh, yeah.
We're opening with that.
We're definitely getting back to that.
Patty. And then from there, we can go to Patty Perna's pool party in ninth grade. There's two stories you got to have at some point.
Write it down, Tim.
It's going to be a fun season.
Man.
Steve, thank you. It has something to do with my mother telling me that everybody wears an orange Speedo, all the cool kids. So move on.
Oh, no. Coming of age of Steve Young.
Oh, it's a good one. Steve, have a good week, my friend. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys are the best.
You're the best, Steve.
Oh, man.